We're doing Beit Shin Samach Vav. We'll quickly recap. We'll start from the beginning of the chapter. Mahut ha-tfilah pri yosher levav enosh, asher nafsho yodat me'od dalut erko. The essence of prayer is the fruit of a certain internal honesty. We discussed the word tfilah being clarity, that a person really comes to a clarification from within, where he realizes his limitations. B'shiflut matzavov chitut ma'amado. A person realizes that he can't accomplish certain things. He needs help from above. Ve'otzem chesrono, asher al ken chivut ha-mitpalel amod b'achna v'shiflut ha-ruach. When a person stands in prayer, that's why the mode of prayer is we stand there in a humble form. Ulchavent reglav la'tzomet enav. We keep our feet together, we close our eyes. Lo la'rim yad o'regel v'lo la'ni'a afaf. We don't walk anywhere. We're not moving our hands. We're not winking at people. Rak nimso otzmot achtzel ha-mashpia ha-elyon baruch hu. What we're doing in prayer is we're recognizing we're under the shadow of the one above. So when a person enters prayer, he realizes his limitations. The person comes to the realization, technically, I don't even have the strength to pray on my own. The person needs the mercy from above. That's how we begin prayer. We say, Hashem, give me the strength, open my lips so I can recount your praise. So when we enter prayer, part of what we're doing is we're recognizing all the good that we've had until now. And part of what we're doing is we're humbling ourselves because we are stiff-necked. And anytime we have to pray, it's really a certain internal conflict between our ego and our conscience, where we'd like to say, I can do this. You know, like Bar Kochva said, he was going into war, and he said, God, I don't need your help. Just don't work against me. So very often in life, we're very tempted to say that. Just don't get involved. I can handle this, right? I'm a big boy, mommy. So that's the temptation. And when a person actually talks in prayer, he's talking to his Creator. What he's really saying is, I recognize I need you. Umaktina tzmo. And so a person, to some degree, is minimizing himself. Neged kvod yotzro asher rav tuv gmalahu. It takes a certain honesty and humility for a person to look up and say, God, you've done so much good on my behalf. Uviyadol malot machsorav. And a person says, I know. You're the one who controls whether I will have what I need. So a person knows that God really wants to give him what he needs. That's why in prayer, we begin by recounting Hashem's praise. So part of prayer is the recognition that God is good. Otherwise, why am I talking to him? So I begin praying by saying, I know you want what's good in the world. I know you've done a lot of good, all the good that's around. You've given the world. From that, I come and I speak to you about what I need, what I want. Val kiyumo. And when we pray, we should also be talking about our existence. I have an annoying habit. I love it, and it annoys me every time anew. What's my habit? I decided that it really bothers me when people write in a book, this is owned by so-and-so. So some people write, Lashem haaretz umloah, God controls the whole world. And then they write, Birshut, this book is in the possession of so-and-so. So the word Birshut could also mean with the permission of. So now let's reread that sentence. God has the world and everything on it with the permission of so-and-so. That's not so nice, right? Shoot. So I started writing in my books, Lashem Haaretz Umloah, God has the whole world, everything's His. And under that I write, Sefer Zeh, this book, Ka'et Birshut, is currently in the possession of Netanel Frankenthal. Every time I write that, it annoys me. Why? Because it reminds me that one day I'm going to be dead. I don't like to think about that. I'm writing, this is currently in my possession. We don't like to say that, right? That could also be. You don't like to think about things being finite. We like to ignore the day of death. So I always force myself to write that. Sefer Zeh Ka'et Pirshut. This book is currently in the possession of Netanel Frankenthal. You know, even as I say it, it bothers me. So that, when I put on my kittel, we have a white robe that we wear on the Seder night and on Yom Kippur. Some have the custom to wear it on Rosh Hashanah. It's not my custom, but some do that. You'll see Rav Listman wears it on Rosh Hashanah. Only married people wear it. So when I put it on, so I always tell my wife, take a good look. This is how they're going to bury me. Now, up until a few years ago, I'd always smile as I said it. As you age, and it becomes like, it doesn't seem so far away anymore, I don't smile anymore when I say it. It gets creepy. You guys are all laughing, right? When we come to pray, part of what we're doing is we're asking for life. And again, we try to ignore that life is finite. And I tell it to you as we, I am one of the we. I also have this constant challenge where we live life and we don't want to think that one day I won't be here. But that's the truth. There will be a day when it's going to be Netan al Frankenthal Zichrono Livracha. We don't like to say that, but that, at the end of the day, Moshe Rabbeinu hit his 120, right? So when we come to pray, there's a certain truth that's supposed to be part of our recognition as we're coming to pray. Vivakesh al nafsho, we ask about life. Ve'al kiyumo, and about our continued existence. Ve'al hashlamat machsorav, and we also ask about those things that we'd really like. Liftoch lo tzaro atov, asher bimonei zvulav. We ask Hashem to open the treasure chest, so to speak. He has all these goodies. He has all the blessings he can give us. So we talk about it. I want to conclude pause our studies tonight with a simple but important thought. We're approaching Rosh Hashanah. And Rosh Hashanah is when Sarah, Rachel, Hannah, that's when they all merited to have children. Did they get pregnant that night? No. Did they give birth on Rosh Hashanah? No. Avram and Sarah were praying for decades for a child. People as pious as Avram and Sarah. And it was only on Rosh Hashanah that in heaven their lot was overturned and it was decided that ultimately they would have a child later that year. That she would conceive and have a child later that year. She did not yet conceive on the night of Rosh Hashanah. So when we speak about prayer, we should pause to recognize that we are at a very special juncture in the year right now. Prayer is important every day of the year. But now especially, we have a golden opportunity. We have 2 more weeks till Rosh Hashanah, and then we have 10 days. And the prayer that we can offer now carries a totally different weight. Even Avram and Sarah got a different result when they prayed revolving around Rosh Hashanah as opposed to the rest of the year. So let's think about it as we pray today, tomorrow. This is our golden opportunity. Every day prayer is important and worthwhile, but it's especially important now. And I'll see you.